I'll start with one of the toughest questions a fellow has to answer. How do you respond? Another. How do you respond to a person who asks, "Are you saying I can't defend my family against an intruder in my home?" The emotion there stirred tremendously, and frankly, I'll tell you, I hope that I do the right thing, but I'm not sure I will. I can't brag that I'll make be sure. I'm not going to brag like Peter. You know, I'll never do so and so. But the question comes up, can I defend somebody without trying to harm somebody else? I do not feel that I can pull a gun and shoot the person. I believe that fits with what we've been saying. One thing that I would do and recognize, the Lord does not put us in a position of temptation, that which we can bear. That's 1 Corinthians 10:12, I believe. My memory of numbers. I'm a math teacher. I can't remember numbers. 10:13. There hath no temptation taken man, but taken you, but such as man can bear. I believe the King James says such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I can't tell you what might be doable in a situation like that. But I believe that a Christian who really wants to serve God will find something he can do to defend his family. I can't tell you. You can't guess ahead of time. But one thing I would suggest and strongly suggest, that we pray fervently that we not be put in that position. And pray also that if that position should develop, that we can see God's way of escape so I can save my family, maybe possibly by giving my own life, but do the right thing and not try to take vengeance. That's God. Like Christ, leave yourself to Him who judges righteously. That's a hard thing, and it's hard to even leave it that way. People say, "What am I going to do?" Well, frankly, I don't know, but we better pray. And we better pray not to be put in that position. And we better pray to see the escape if we ever get in that position. And I am totally convinced that God will provide that way of escape. He's promised it. I don't know whether that's may want to say some more on that, and we'll give an opportunity later. Next question. Is it wrong for a Christian to sit on a jury of a potential death penalty case? It seems to me, as I read this, that this is partaking of vengeance. It's taking part in the procedure of vengeance. I personally would not do it. You might be put in jail sometime for not doing it, but again, I would not do that. I don't feel that's taking part in vengeance. When I vote for an official who sends men to war, am I a participant in any subsequent killing by the soldiers? I hate to answer that because my answer here is based so much on a line of reasoning rather than a definite scriptural text that I'm sensitive on the subject. I will admit I do not vote, nor have I. And I'll tell you the reason. Going back to, and this is a source of strain even within myself, I'll tell you. Going back to Daniel, the Most High God ruleth it in the affairs of men, giveth it to whomsoever He will, even the basis of men. God wanted Hitler where he was. And if I had been a Christian in Germany and voting, and I said, "I'm going to vote for the best man," I'd be voting against God. I'd be voting against the will of God. God does not tell us. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong if you love. This is a decision you have to make within yourself and consider it very seriously. I don't know what God's will is in that line. God supplies us through the Scriptures unto every good work. And He doesn't supply us the information to choose somebody like that. That's the way I understand this. And therefore, I don't book me. I don't get mad with anybody who does. But I have that problem. And therefore, I would answer this when I vote for the official who sends men to war. Am I a participant? If not, it's awful close to it. I don't know who asked the question, but it seems to me you are getting close to it, if not actually there. And understand, I don't have a scripture that says that. This is the line of reasoning from what we said, from the things that we pointed out from Scripture, not directly. Can a Christian serve on a jury with a death penalty? That's another one. And I'll tell you another reason I don't vote is that juries are chosen from voting records, I understand. I believe that's the case. Yeah. But is that right? At least at one time they were. And I did not want to be on a jury. And to get out of a jury, in fact, I had heard horror stories before where a person went and said, I can't count you to do this. They said, well, you vote, don't you? You voted for the man. And so whatever they think, I don't do that. But you have to be the judge of what you do on that score. Do they? Well, then I'm caught. Someday I'll have to face it, no doubt. Does a Christian have any kind of responsibility to use force to protect his family? This is, again, not killing someone. I was asked to teach on this. No, I wasn't. It was another man taught on it, and I was out, and some men got terribly angry. They were so angry they wouldn't shake hands with the preacher when he came out. He was standing on one side, and they went by the other side. And the question came, can I use force? Well, it was interesting that a man who was a attendant, a nurse or something, he had duty with inmates at the Veterans Hospital in Murfreesboro. This is a Veterans Hospital of mentally troubled men. And oftentimes they're very belligerent. And he said, just call it a fact. Recently, one of those went berserk, and a man was trying to keep him from damaging others and hurting others. And in the process, the man was hurt. The man didn't try to hurt him. The man was trying to hold him from hurting somebody else. And incidentally, the man was hurt. And so he was hurt by his own volition, not by the person who was trying to hold him. Well, I don't find any problem with that. He did not have intent to hurt him. He had intent to keep him from putting himself in a situation that was destructive to himself and others. And so the question, can you use force to protect his family? Not killing another, yes. If somebody came there and he was about to attack your wife or your child and you grabbed him and grappled with him, you're not trying to hurt him. You're trying to stop him from doing what he's doing. You're not in any way. In fact, if you have the right attitude, you're trying to keep him from doing something that's very destructive to himself as well as to your family. And if incidentally he gets hurt, not by any desire of you, I don't see that that fits in this pattern. I may be wrong, and somebody may want to speak on this. But I do believe a man can use force in that sense. He can put himself between the intruder and those he's protecting, and in process might himself be harmed seriously even. Does Luke 3:14 bear on the subject? These are answers to people who come up and ask various questions. Verse 9, people in the multitude, verse 10, people in the multitudes asked him, "What must we do?" And he said, "A man that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath food, let him do likewise." There came also publicans to be baptized, and "Teacher, what must we do?" He said, "Extort no more than that which is appointed you. You be an honest tax collector. Don't do like most of them and feather your own bed." Hadn't changed to this day, has it? And then soldiers asked him, saying, "What must we do?" And he said, "Extort from no man by violence, neither accuse anyone wrongfully. Be content with your wages." Now, how would that bear on it? Well, it does bear on it. Every man must be honest in his occupation. This is before the law was put into effect under which we live. And it is very possible that a man might be a soldier and not just be in patrol duty and be protecting people but not trying to harm others in the process. And the question then comes up in the new law when we're Christians. Does this just say I can be a soldier as long as I behave in a proper way? I don't think that pertains. It does. It's something we have to consider. It is a statement that we have to look at and make consideration of. I believe any man who had been a soldier, any Christian, I've run into a number of old men who were in World War II, and nearly to a man, these men said, "I never had to kill anybody, but that I'm so thankful." They just weren't in a position where they were asked to take a life. Well, true, they were in the mechanism that helped, but at least it was a comfort to them to know they didn't themselves take a life. And it would appear to me that we're looking here at the same thing. You all behave in such a way, a kind way. You behave as helpers of the community rather than deterrents. But that would not change the laws that he gives to Christians, as we read particularly in Romans 12. But certainly something must be considered. Are there others? Or is there a rebuttal? I'd be glad to give the floor to anybody who would like to speak. In fact, when I've taught this, normally I like to teach it in class, but when I've taught it, I say I'm going to run this class differently. I'm going to make the presentation and make it for several weeks. And then at the end of the time, I'm going to give anybody that wants to the floor so they can rebut. Because you can't rebut from your seat like you can when you have the class. I will say this. It may have seemed tedious to go the long route I did to get here. But I've never gone this route and had anybody complain when I got through. It's interesting to me. I expected it. I had men that violently disagreed when we started, but I didn't have a single man to stand up and take the class and try to teach differently. I believe the foundation, and the reason I started back and tried to build a foundation of God's working with men, I believe that foundation, tedious as it might have been to get, I believe it supports the position. If there's nothing else, I'll turn it over to you, Tommy.